I've enjoyed this study. For those of you joining us online and the rest of you, Spiritual Warfare 101 is the title of this series. This is the fourth session that we've had together in God's Word, and we've just been looking at some basics of spiritual warfare. Week one, we looked at our enemies, the world, flesh, the devil, and so forth. We began to then look at our weapons of our warfare, and we talked about the Word, the Rhema Word, the written Word, the prophetic Word, and so forth. And last week, we really dialed in on the idea of worship. We used Jesus' temptation experience in large part the last couple of weeks. Our kind of our launching scripture for the series is 2 Corinthians 10, and I'll read that for you, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not, notice that, we do not war according to the flesh. The way we do warfare is different than we would do it in the flesh, okay? But the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so tonight, we're kind of looking at weapons, but parenthetically I want to, particularly after having talked about worship last week, because that's what the enemy's after. He rebelled against God to get it, didn't work, and he's forever been assigned away from his original call. He's now a rebel, and he's after worship. And tonight we're going to kind of pop the hood on some of the ways that the enemy wants to deceive us and pull us into the flow of what he's doing, okay? And if you will allow me to, something a little differently that I want to do right at the beginning, and I won't get through the material probably laid out tonight, but I do feel like I'm supposed to do this. I had a dream last night. And I have a lot of dreams, but this one was one that I felt like I'm supposed to pay attention to. I dreamed that I was in like almost a farm setting out in the country, and there was a pasture, and there was a house, a brick house, not far off the highway, and there was a pasture around us, and then the woods came up to the pasture at the back of the house. And I was out in the field, and I could see down into the woods away, and I could see some crows cawing, or hear them cawing, and squirrels, and different animals. And then suddenly, a couple of black bear came lumbering out across the field. And in the dream, and Sean, I want you to come up, because you're going to help interpret this. He hasn't heard this, okay? But he carries this. And so I'm going to bring you on. You've heard of the hot plate, right? It's right here, okay? Right here. Get up here. It's right up here. Okay. He's on the hot plate, okay? Okay, so I'm having this dream, and a couple of black bear came lumbering out on the pasture. I said, we don't have black bear around here, and so this is strange. And then here came a couple of more black bear, and after like six or seven eventually just came lumbering across the field. And I thought, well, I need to get up to the house, and in case the kids are in the yard with these black bears. So I head toward the house, and then there was a huge black bear walking on two legs, you know, and it was coming like this and across the front of the house, okay, and it disappears. Then in the dream, I shift from being behind the house to into the garage. I didn't recognize the house or the field or anything in the dream. But I was now in a garage that belonged to my uncle when I was growing up, and my cousin, who was a year and a day older than me. Our daddies were twins, and we'd tell people we're twins too, you know. But we would play in this garage, and there was a mattress there and some cardboard kind of around it, like kids will play in. And so I lay down on that, and then I heard like some growling, and I peeped up, and there were a couple of those big black bears, and they started coming over that to where I was. And in the dream, I remember, it was just like this in the dream, like, I don't like this dream. Yeah, I'm not putting up with this. I'm going to wake up. And so I woke up. I woke up vividly awake, wide awake. And the room is filled with, and I've talked to you about this before, these, I don't even know how to describe it. Ezekiel talked about a wheel in a wheel. But I mean, there was a number of them. They're just, you know, and there's different places in Scripture where there's all these all kinds of creatures and things described. That's happened a number of times in the last year or so. But I mean, just the atmosphere is just full of it. And I'm laying there, and usually when this happens, I have a lot of peace. But I felt a need to pray, so I just started praying out loud in tongues in my room. This was at 1:25 when I woke up, and so I'm doing that, and I prayed for a while. You know, maybe a half hour later, I'm thinking, well, I've got my phone, and I'm going to look up and see prophetic meanings for bears. You know, that's kind of thing. I remembered the story about Elisha, and he got mocked as a prophet, and the bears came and took care of those folks, you know. And so I pulled my phone out to look that up, and when I opened up my phone in my Google News feed, and I've spoken nothing about a bear out loud, because I know those things can spy on you. I'd said nothing, but Mickey, bring me my phone, because I'm wanting him to see what I saw. I popped my phone open, and it was in the top of the news feed was an article, and it was a YouTube video. And here is the title of the video: "The Bear Who Likes to Walk on Two Legs." And here, to top it all off, this is exactly what not the music, it did, you know. But this is exactly the kind of, you know, they was walking around like that in the dream. So that obviously then now it's really, let me, some of you on the front row, you get blessed for sitting up here close to the front. That was at the top of my phone. And it wasn't when I went to bed, of course. And so sometimes the timing of things and the placement of things, and, you know, you can make prophetic things out of all kinds of things, but that kind of got my attention. And so I'll stop there.
Tell me again the little segment where you go back into a garage, and you said that was your uncle's?
Yes, my dad's twin brother. And okay. I would go and play with my cousin.
What was his name?
Randy. My cousin. So was Randy. Yeah, yeah. And he's been with the Lord a number of years. He died young.
Sometimes there are significances to people in your dreams and the names of people. It would be interesting to know what the Randy or Randall, I know we have a few Randys in the house, but I don't know what that name means, but there might be something in that that happens with me.
Yeah. He wasn't in the dream, but the place where we...
You were played. In that place. Mm-hmm. Bears can mean several different things. I think specifically in this one, I think it's territory. I think it's territorial. Okay. And I think moving, especially into this new building, you are moving and taking the land. And the fact that the one was standing up, you're dealing with some intimidating type things. Didn't want to say, this is our land, this is our property. A bear's going to attack you when you go into what? Their territory. And I do think the heart of it is something about territorial. And the Lord is showing you this because he's letting you know exactly what the enemy's got in mind, what the enemy's wanting to do. The Lord speaks to us. A lot of you are dreamers, and the Lord will let you see things. And sometimes it's symbolic like this. Sometimes it's literal. But it's, as John Paul Jackson would say, it's a good dream. It's showing you what the enemy is intending to do, that they want to take the land. But you're going to have authority in the land. Has anybody looked up the name Randall or Randy? What does that mean? So God is going to be your shield or protector.
Okay.
So God is going to be your shield and protection right now. No matter if the enemy tries to come in. It would be pretty intimidating to see one bear in your yard, but six or seven, and then one guy's walking around on two, you know.
You ought to be in the garage with two of them.
It's part of the... It's part of that intimidation that the enemy tries to bring, and you know the enemy tries to bring a lot of fear.
I wonder if the mattress then would reckon that, you know, the way to war is to be in the place of rest.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen.
It speaks of rest, and also it speaks of intimacy with the Lord, that we've got to be close to Him in this hour. It speaks of really the intercession being ramped up, worship being ramped up.
It was very vivid in a dream, like, these aren't supposed to be in this area.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that means, if it's territorial, if there's been some, in the realm of the Spirit, some reinforcements sent in, you know, that's normally not here
could
or
be.
Something like that.
It could know. Be. If I may, I had a dream a few weeks ago that was just real literal and real straight up that I just wanted to encourage prayer warriors with. I had a dream maybe 2 weeks ago that I was at a music event in Muscle Shoals, and there were two big name rock groups that anybody in here would know who they are. And we try to go and we can't get in. They put us in the overflow. And then I'm watching it on the screen, and one of the singers gets up, and before, or maybe in the middle of the act, he starts doing some type of incantation, some type of witchcraft. It's very clear. And I start holding my hand up, resisting that for the region. So I just want to submit that.
Yeah, with what we're...
Because I know there's a lot
of... Because it all fits with what we're talking
and
about.
And I know there's a lot of music festivals that happen here, and I'm a musician. I love musicians and music. But we don't want the enemy to try to creep in and bringing that. But if I could submit that, that was something I had.
To add to the story, like two nights ago, one of my grandsons woke up in the middle of the night, and he's developing a seer thing. But the first thing he saw was a bear, and it had red eyes.
Well, a bear is symbolic of a sneak attack. Because people talk about being attacked sometimes with bears that didn't see them coming. They just walked in their area. They didn't see it. But the Lord is letting you see this. And also a bear speaks of, if you think about the stock market, there's the bull market, there's the bear market. The bear market's not good. And that could also be an area to pray that there is supply.
And there's deception, too, because we think of a cuddly teddy bear, but really a bear is very vicious. Okay, one other thing. So earlier, that was 1:25, but after I got up, I'm over at the new church, and I'm thinking about what I'm talking and teaching on tonight more, and about the whole thing of light and darkness. I mean, that's really kind of, the enemy wants to do his work, and that's one of the ways you can tell. It's a hidden thing. A cult means to be hidden. But the Lord is light. You know, where he's working, things are being revealed. And so I'm thinking about that, about the light. I go home about 1 o'clock to really start drilling down for tonight. And I drive up and I have these lights that come on at night. You know, when it gets dark, they come on. And when I drive up in the driveway, I look over there and it's bright daylight and they just started flashing. I looked at them a few seconds, and then it just stopped. And I thought, well, that's interesting, because I've been the whole light thing. I mentioned that the last two Sundays. And then Mickey gets a text from someone that we don't attend here, but said they feel like they really had a word for the Lord that they needed to share with us. And it was a word, the scripture had to do with the word being a lamp to your feet, light on your path, but the word of the Lord was, turn your lantern on. So, I mean, it's just been a interesting day of how things have synchronized in that. So, thanks.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. I would just say, too, dreams like this necessitate a response. And the response always has to be in faith. A dream like that can shake you up. Like he said, I don't really want to have this dream. I don't want to be here. You'll have those dreams. But the Lord is revealing. It's part of that revelatory gifting. And he's letting us see exactly what the enemy's up to. You see it throughout scriptures. And we must respond, and I know you will, but in faith and prayer and resisting, because the Lord is showing you something very clearly. Even if it's bears and symbolism, it's clear.
Well, Lord, we just step into this, and on behalf of the congregation, Lord, for each and every one of us in the room, help us not to cede any territory to the enemy in any way. Help us not to be intimidated. Help us not to back down in fear. And we just declare the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus Christ against any and every effort of the enemy, of the that the bear would represent, whether it's the sneaky stuff, just outright assault and attack. We just stand against that in the name of Jesus, and we declare this is holy ground, this new building, the property's holy ground, this city, we're claiming it for you, King Jesus. And so we're putting our faith together in this room tonight and announcing that you are Lord and that you rule and reign and that we are your army. And you said, having done all to stand. So we stand. We stand in faith and we declare victory. And Lord, we just pray our lights would shine. Light us up. Light this region up in Jesus' name. Help us to war, not only through the word and worship, but from the place of rest, the finished rest of Jesus. Lord, even that scene now, as he's mentioned that, I just think of going back to my childhood and like to have that childlike faith, to being able to rest, to know that Daddy's taking care of everything. We just rest in that. We rest in that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Sean, so much. Bless you, brother.
You know, Russell also had a dream the other day. The bear were after him.
That's right. So another one of our elders. I forget, that was last week?
Yeah, it was last week. Basically, it was a mother bear and a baby bear. The context of it was, I don't know where I was, but anyway, it was the mother bear was chasing me and I was fighting it off. And when I would turn to face her, her little one would go around behind and come at me. So I was kicking. When I would kick her, I had to turn around and kick the little baby. And it was just going on back and forth until I woke up.
Kick finger.
But I don't have any dreams. This was something else.
That's interesting.
The bear is a survivor. But what?
And we had that word Sunday from Cain about the devourer.
We told him about that.
Yeah.
But what I get out of it, too, you better watch for the little bitty ones coming at you, too.
Yeah, the little things can trip us up.
Come from behind. She had taught the little ones to attack.
Amen. Amen. We as human beings have the capacity to be inhabited by spirits. As a matter of fact, to be able to live life as a New Testament Christian, we stand firmly on that reality that we are indwelt by the very Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. That's a human capacity that we have. And conversely, human beings can host demonic spirits. Hence, the New Testament church has been charged to have the ministry of deliverance, to deliver people from evil spirits, from demons, from demonic influence, from strongholds. And there's different ways, different terminologies that could be used, but at the base is the fact that we can be influenced and we can inhabit. Some people can actually fully host. We are to fully host the Holy Spirit. Aren't we to pray to be filled with the fullness of God? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. To yield it all to Him. To be good hosts of the Holy Spirit. Well, the thief, the devil, the thief, he's a robber, he's a thief, he steals. He takes God's design for us concerning our destiny, men and women, full of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, surrounded by holy angels, living on earth, drawing wisdom, instruction, energy, and power from the realm of the Spirit, the devil steals that pattern, pollutes it, perverts it, and wants to use it to build his kingdom. We are energized through the Word of God. We sang it tonight. Your very Word is my daily bread. Jesus said, we've studied, particularly the week before last, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we are energized by the living power of God's Word. We are energized by the living Spirit of God. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So as Christians, we're energized in that way. We're made strong in that way. We get strength that way. We have a divine supply in that way. But the enemy, who is the thief and the imitator to pollute and pervert God's designs, then he wants to energize his followers, and he does that through sin, through the desires of the fallen nature we refer to as the flesh. As a matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, listen to this. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and let me read a few of them, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lawlessness, idolatry, remember that one, sorcery, remember that. In the King James Version, that same word sorcery there is translated sorcery. In the New King James, in the King James, it's translated witchcraft. Again, these are the works of the flesh. In other words, we are already seeing here that people who yield themselves in different ways. You yield yourself to adultery, then you can get into a position where you can actually begin to be influenced by unclean spirits of lust and so forth, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. But idolatry and sorcery are witchcraft, the Greek word pharmakeia, that's where we get the word pharmacy from. That's part of the works of the flesh. In other words, the Lord works through the Holy Spirit and His Word to energize us. So the enemy will work through works of flesh, through sinful desires, to energize us to do His will. Unwittingly at times, unknowingly at times. Some people can get to the point where they knowingly want to ingratiate Satan. This is where you get into high-level devil worship, and you have put different names on that. People who are purposely skilled in divination and witchcraft. It's all about authority. It's all about power. It's all about influence. And so the enemy realizes that if he can energize people through sin to live sinful lifestyle, then the manifestation of that promotes his kingdom. We see that happening in our nation in a rampant way, where we went from things in the last generation that we would gasp at to now creating legislation to protect it. And it's like the dark gets darker, but the light will get brighter. There will be, as we near the end time harvest and what God's plans for at the end of the age, where there will be ascending levels of glory for God and descending levels of degradation and darkness for those that serve the enemy. And that in itself will begin to create a separation, a revealing, for a simple way of saying it, whose team you're on, whose jersey you're wearing. And the enemy works through works of flesh. Your flesh, my flesh. Now, I'm not saying our physical body. I'm talking about our fallen nature, the fleshly nature. And you've heard me say this many times, those who've been with me a while through the years, saved flesh is not a bit more dependable than lost flesh. You don't sanctify flesh. You kill it. You crucify it. So those, when those desires of the flesh are allowed to live, and that's the purpose of temptation. The devil roams to and fro throughout the whole world to show him, to devour those. The Lord looking for those to show himself strong through them, 2 Chronicles 16:9. But in 1 Peter, he says the devil roams to and fro seeking whom he may devour. Who he has for lunch is the person that will yield their desires to sinful flesh, and that energizes them to promote the enemy's kingdom. Now, a person would argue, no, I'm not doing this to glorify the devil. No, it's just that doing it glorifies the devil, whether you meant to or not. And we have to realize that the spiritual realm is real. When I first started learning how to step into the realm of deliverance and help people, because I believed the Word, I believed that demons always believed they were real, but just didn't realize how that we were to know they were real and how to, you navigate in that. But once that I was filled with the Holy Spirit and God opened that door and I got several words about it and began to be mentored, it's amazing that I started getting calls and requests and started hearing what people were dealing with. And that's been true to this very day. I mean, even recently, even now I'm dealing with a dear young man, I believe loves the Lord, and he it's some out bizarre things that are happening around him that the enemy's behind it. One of the first deliverances I got into, I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, where the lady was tearing up a Bible, and anyway, after she got delivered, and I went home for 11 days, I was on my couch. Running fever with a viral infection. Not long after that, I had another occasion where I was in another deliverance and that person got set free. I went home for 9 days after that. I was on the couch with a viral infection, running fever. Now, after that second time, the first time I thought, I wonder if this could have had anything to do with that. But when it happened back to back, then I started trying to study and get into the Word and realize, I think I may be out punting my coverage here, that I need people praying for me and I need to be better prepared, because I'm telling you, it can take, it took a lot out of me, and it compromised, obviously, my immune system. And so I began to learn, about praying and fasting. You remember when Jesus was teaching his disciples when they couldn't cast out a devil? He rebuked them for their lack of faith. So that's the first thing. Whatever you do that builds faith, that'll help you to have a more successful ministry time in the area of deliverance. And sometimes in order to build faith, there's prayer and fasting that's required. And so I began stepping into that and getting better prepared. And then I ceased seeing that happened until another season came along. A lot of us were at a different church together, but I mean, God was so moving, and every Friday I was being hit. And I know this sounds strange, but some of you were there and are aware of it. But like, I would wake up, and Nikki can testify to this, I could wake up on the Friday morning and I couldn't get my legs to work right. It would take me couple, 3 hours to get up where I could move around. And on one of those Fridays, I finally got up and was able to walk a little bit down. It only happened on Fridays. Only on Fridays. I was walking down the hall. I was in the house by myself, and I got hit from behind, and I mean, rolled up like a ball in the hallway. It was game on. And I was already aware that this was this attack coming. And again, I'm not trying to instill fear. I'm just sharing some testimony here that, when you hear terms like witchcraft and all that, some of that's dabbling, some of that's dabbling's dangerous. I'm not minimizing that, but I'm saying there is full-blown practitioners in witchcraft that get together to worship, to release spells, incantations, and curses, and so forth. Well, we finally, this is a bizarre story, but it's true. One of our church members was flying back, I think it was from California to here, and I've heard this similar story happen to other people, but it literally happened to me. One of our choir members was flying back on an airplane, sitting by a man, and the man was praying, and he said, "Oh, I see that you're praying. Are you a Christian?" He said, "No, I'm not." He said, "Well, I see you praying." He said, "What are you doing?" He said, I'm praying and fasting." And he told him, he said, I'm a Satanist. And so he said, "Well, what are you praying?" He said, "I'm praying about a pastor in Florence, Alabama by the name of Eddie Lawrence. And me and a group of people." And one of the church members of the church I pastored was sitting beside him. God put him on the plane. And when we found that out, we got people together and covenanted together and broke that thing. When Friday came around, I didn't have more time. I didn't have any more problems. When we was able to get our prayer together and find what the root was able to break that thing. But that went on for a number of weeks on Friday. I didn't announce it congregationally because I didn't want what the enemy was doing to divert the attention of the church because of what was going on in my life. I've always tried to honor that, not to bring my stuff I'm going through into the pulpit. I want to bring my best. I want to encourage people. I want to speak life. But tonight I'm just testifying about some things because spiritual warfare is a reality. And most of you know that, but it is a reality. And some of the stuff that I've seen happen is almost unbelievable, but I bear witness that it's true. It's not a frightening thing, but we do not. I'm doing this series to help people get their head out of the sand. One of the greatest things that you can do to assist the enemy's attacks against your life is to deny his existence, to ignore him. Because as children of God, you have the weapons of warfare. You have the armor of God. Hopefully we'll go through those one Wednesday night. You have the Word. You have the blood. Worship that we've covered. All these things are powerful weapons in our arsenal that are extremely powerful. They operate by faith because in the spirit realm, you operate by faith and you operate by authority. It's like a legal way that operates in the realm of the spirit. And we have been authorized in the name of Jesus Christ to have power over the enemy. And we do. But that doesn't mean that there's not battles that we fight. The warfare means there's a war. And even Jesus' own disciples that were personally discipled by him had difficulties at times. So we need to be aware of that. Jesus so taught this. I know some people think, well, I just don't know about that stuff. You know, I love Jesus and I believe in Jesus, but I just don't know about that. Demons. I think Jesus was just accommodating. Listen, let me just read a scripture. Matthew 12:43. Jesus is talking about someone that is inhabited by a demonic spirit. He said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man. How can an unclean spirit go out of a man if he's not in him? When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. What house is he referring to? What did he just come out of? A man. The unclean spirit, this is Jesus Christ. If you got a red light letter Bible, these are red letters. He is saying that the demon views the man's body to be his house. To be a house that becomes his house when he moves in. He goes on to say, and when he comes, he finds it empty. That is, if he's been cast out and he comes back. If he finds it empty, swept, and put in order, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits. Now notice this. More wicked than himself. Now we don't have time to dip too deep in this well. But this tells us that in the realm of the demonic, that some demonic spirits are more wicked than others. I didn't say that. Jesus did. which means some are easier to deal with than others. I have found that to be true. It says, then he goes out and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. So that would be a total of eight. And they enter and dwell there. Enter where? The man. And the last state, how do we know it's a man? Listen to this. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation, referring to the generation that Jesus came to. He was there. They could have invited them into their lives and known him in his fullness, but instead sat under his teaching, heard the word that may have brought some clarity, but without receiving him, they're empty. And so the Spirit comes back and brings reinforcements, and now they're in a worse state than they were at first. This is one reason a lot of times when people come to me about deliverance, and often you'll have one person saying, I've got a son, or I've got a daughter, or I've got a husband, or I've got a cousin, or I've got a roommate, or I've got a friend that needs deliverance. Can I bring them to you? One of my first questions, do they want to come? Do they want to come? Now, when Jesus walked into town, they just started packing up, crying out, and leaving most of the time. You know, that was Jesus. And he lives in us. But I'm saying, this is my opinion. Things go a lot better if the person who is playing host to the demonization wants rid of it and is willing to let Jesus do it. Because this teaches us that one can be cast out, but if the person's not filled, that's part of deliverance, is to be filled with the Spirit of God after you cast out the unclean spirit or whatever spirit you may be dealing with. So I just wanted you to see, this is Jesus' teaching. Our Lord, the head of this church, the head of the church, the foundation, this is Jesus' teaching. So we need to realize this. And so he taught it. You can reach your own conclusion about it, but this is what he taught. Now, going back to the scripture in Galatians chapter 5, let me just briefly say this. It mentions idolatry and sorcery back to back. It's interesting in 1 Samuel, and I'll get into this more next week. Let me set it up, throw a pitch or two, and we'll get back at the batter's box next week. Here, in the works of the flesh, it mentions idolatry and sorcery, or idolatry and witchcraft. When Saul failed to obey the voice of the Lord as king of Israel, and Samuel came up and saw that Saul had disobeyed the Lord's voice, had stepped into the role of a priest and offered those sacrifices, he told him to obey is better than to sacrifice, to hearken, than to offer the fat of lambs. And then he said, for rebellion, in other words, you didn't do what the Lord said, you rebelled and did what you wanted. That's what rebellion is, when we do what we want to do instead of doing what God wants us to do. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as the sin of iniquity and idolatry. And then the works of the flesh, idolatry and witchcraft. And what I want to get into next week is witchcraft goes far beyond people deciding, I want to be Wiccan. I want to learn how to do these spells and incantations. We can be guilty of witchcraft. And next week we'll talk about what that looks like through manipulation, intimidation, and domination. And I learned those three things from Derek Prince, who's taught that years ago. But it's such a great way to understand how the influence of witchcraft operates. Through manipulation, we can get into learning how to influence and manipulate people to do what we want. Now, I'm not saying that we don't use our persuasion. I'm not saying like Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. I'm not talking about that level. I'm talking about when we purposely are trying to twist people and coerce people by being manipulative to control them. We can be under, have a controlling spirit, a manipulative spirit. That we can get into witchcraft. It can happen in the church. It can happen in our homes. It can happen in marriage. It can happen in the workplace. And we want to talk about that next week, okay? So the worm's on the hook. And come back. And I'm not trying to manipulate here. That, maybe that's more like wishcraft. But seriously, the Word of God informs us about these things. And as remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Because he works to deceive, to energize our desires so he can awaken our flesh so that we'll manifest the works of the flesh, and that promotes his agenda. We are to be people full of the Holy Spirit, feeding on the Word, led by the Holy Spirit, so we manifest the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Jesus Christ, and see the kingdom of God expanding. That's your warfare. Light, darkness, good, evil. Kingdom of God, kingdom of darkness. Okay? Would you stand with me? Let's just hold up our hands a minute. And I'm going to ask a few of our altar workers, I think you, some of you are scheduled, just come on up and just be here. For anyone that needs prayer after I say the amen, please come up. There'll be someone here to pray with you. So, Father God, right now, tonight, as we stand on your word, help us to war not after our flesh. Don't allow us, Lord, to use the part of us the enemy wants to use to try to wage the good warfare. Help us to yield to the Spirit of God, to stand on the Word of God, to manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and to be energized by the power of the Holy Spirit to fight our warfare. And I pray tonight, Lord, that we would be equipped through your Word in these Wednesday nights together to more accurately discern ways the enemy wants to work in us and through us so we can shut that down, and to more accurately discern where he's moving and working so that we can stay away from those landmines and traps that he sets. And help us to do this, Lord, with our eyes on you and our ear to your lips. May we be warriors that know who we are in Jesus Christ, who know that we've been given authority over all the power of the enemy, and yet not ignorant of the ways the enemy will try to seduce us, entice us, pollute us, and pervert us. So Holy Spirit, have your way. King Jesus, have your way. In the name of Jesus now, let your light shine. Turn the lantern on. Beware of the bear. Stand strong in the power of his might. Bring down each and every stronghold. Dispel the lies. Embrace the truth. Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's go change the world. Thank you for being here. If you need prayer, we have Pastor Gary and Susie over here and Pastor Hugh and Betty over here. Feel free to come.